Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, with the National Black Unity News Podcast. We want to welcome all of our participants. We also want to welcome those who are streaming live on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, and our other social networks. So welcome to the call. We encourage you to participate, because tonight we're going to have a special guest, Bishop Eve Renee Soule, and he's from out of Louisiana, and one of our main subjects tonight is going to be gerrymandering, and so we're going to talk about a few other issues too related to that, but it's a hot subject, and I'm quite sure you're going to learn something tonight, because it's extremely important, what we're going to discuss tonight, extremely. But before we do that, we always have a reading from our co-host, brother Satawi Jahi. And also let you know that our other co-host is online with us as well, brother Andre Hector. So, brother
Satawi. Good evening, everybody.
Brother Satawi Jahi, you have it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. I want to say good evening to everybody out there under the sound of my voice. And as David says, what we do every week when we come on here, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough. September the 7th. What goes around comes around. Forgive, forget, and move on. Dr. Louis Sullivan, former Secretary of U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and one of the founders of OIC. They did a lot of work. Reading for the day. Willington Webb, Denver, Colorado's first African mayor, said, "It's better to forgive and forget than to hate and remember. He who does not forgive others burns before him the bridge to God's forgiveness." Forgiveness is a language that even the dumb can speak and the deaf can hear. A young employee secretly disappropriated several hundred dollars from his firm's bank account. When this infraction was discovered, he was told to report to the senior partner of the firm. The young man was heavy-hearted as he walked up the stairs toward the administration's offices. He knew he would lose his job. He also feared the possibility of legal action. He felt his whole world was collapsing. His superior began to question him about the affair as soon as he arrived in the office. He asked the young man if the allegations were true. He nodded his head. Then the senior partner asked the question, "If I keep you in the present capacity, can I trust you in the future?" The young man brightened up and said, "Yes, sir, you surely can. I've learned my lesson." His boss then responded, "I'm not going to press charges, and you can continue in your present job." He then concluded the conversation by saying, "I think you ought to know, however, that you are the second person in this firm who succumbed to the temptation and was shown leniency. I was the first. What you've done, I did. The mercy you are receiving, I received. When a friend makes a mistake, don't rub it in, rub it out. This day forward, when I forgive, I will forget." And that's something, you know, that we need to keep in mind as we're moving forward in the things that we're doing, and just keeping that in mind as you know, giving people that space in which they can be forgiven, so that we do not hold things against them, and allowing them to be able to do what they need to be able to do. And I have one other reading I wanted to read here real quick. And it goes like this. Hold on here. Pull this other reading up. Okay, Let us steer a course, a righteous course, so that we may carry the wicked across without becoming like them. Raise them up, give them your hand, and then leave them in the hands of God. Fill them with the food of your kindness, that they might be satisfied and repent. Another good thing in the heart of God is that you pause and think before speaking. Those are two readings for the day. And, you know, hey, I advise everybody again, as he says in this book, it says, pause and think before speaking. You don't have to comment on everything. And you'll learn to use your words wisely as you move to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish in life. So with that said, David, I'm going to turn it back over to you, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. Professor Tava, as usual, I appreciate you. I appreciate the wisdom that you share. And, again, appreciate you, brother. And so before we just go ahead and get started, because I know it's going to get pretty hot up here. I see some serious soldiers online with us as well. And so with that being said, the question that when I was telling people what's going to take place this evening, you'd be surprised. Some people are not even familiar with the term gerrymandering. And so my question to Bishop E. Renee Soule is this. First of all, welcome to the call.
My pleasure.
I met this brother just a week ago, and we had some very interesting conversations. So the brother is serious. The brother's on point as far as I'm concerned. And so my question to you, sir, what is gerrymandering?
It is a system to manipulate the power of the people's vote so one party can have a distinct advantage over the other in redrawing congressional representation lines.
Okay. So explain to us from your take, what should we do? And what are your suggestions, what to do about this serious situation?
Well, first thing we have to do is we have to educate ourselves on this issue and understand why is this important to me and my community. And so I'm in the great state of Louisiana, and I'll use home as an example. Okay? And so here in Louisiana, although in Louisiana, Republicans account for about 31% of the registered voting population. So 31% of the total voting population is Republican. But 83% of the congressional representation is Republican. So how can 31% of the total population get 83% of congressional representation? And then you have the Democratic side, which is about 44% of the registered voting population, but they only can count for 16% of congressional representation. In other words, we have 6 congressional candidates statewide in Louisiana, and the total Republican population, give or take, registered is around 31%, 32%, okay? But they have 5 congressional seats with that 31% population. The Democrats have 44% of the population, but only have 1 congressional seat. And the independents, oh my goodness, they are 24% of the population, and they got 0 congressional representation. And there you have it, gerrymandering on steroids.
Man, that's amazing, amazing. And so, and this not only in Louisiana, but this taken into all over the country, correct, sir?
Absolutely. It is in every state.
And so, and if this is taking place under representation, again, how can we, especially us, I'm talking about black people, you know, I know voting's for everybody, but how can we combat this? What can we do to actually change this?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, David. There's one thing that's going on right now that will affect the redistricting efforts, which will take place in a couple years. And that's the 2020 census. People are throwing their arms up in the air, talking about they don't want the government in their business. They don't want to give nobody to have their information. Let me just help the public understand one thing. If you got a cell phone, if you got a driver's license, if you file taxes, the government got everything they need to know on you. So filling out the census is not going to give the government any more information than they already have. What that census does is it says how many people are in the state and how much representation that state and the community will have when they draw the congressional line. In 2010, we had 7 congressional seats, but because we didn't have a good census turnout, we lost a congressional seat. So now we're down to 6. Before then, we had 8 prior to Katrina. Now, obviously, Katrina sent a lot of people north, south, east, and west. But when you don't fill out that census, you are limiting your congressional representation. More important than limiting your congressional representation, there are 16 major federal grant programs who send money to your community based on you filling out the census. Programs that we use, like SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, Medicare, Medicaid, Highway Planning and Construction, Roads and Bridges, Pell Grants, School Lunch, Breakfast and Lunch for children who are of low income means, and they're not all black and they're not all brown. We got a lot of white folk who are taking on that SNAP. Matter of fact, there are more white folk on SNAP than black folk, but you can't get the mainstream to put that fact out there. Go do your research. Mm-hmm. Go check the numbers out, okay? They hit that more than we do. And conversely, they have to. Think about the population of the United States. They're not all millionaires and billionaires. So, and then you got, you know, temporary assistance for needy families. You got Section 8. You got special education grants. You got foster care title. I mean, you got child care. I mean, I can go down the list of millions of dollars our community is giving. And I'll give you a prime example in your backyard, David, which I happen to pastor in the great community of Cherry Hill, South Baltimore, Maryland. And I was in Cherry Hill when folks were scared to walk down the street. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know Cherry Hill.
Yes, sir.
But our community nonprofit, Cherry Hill 2000, got together and started to transform that community by focusing on 5 things: education, economic development, police, public safety, housing, and recreation. And we began to look at how can we get resources into that community to affect those particular areas. Well, we were right on the cusp of the 2010 census. And I was pastoring there on Cherry Hill Road, New Beginning Bible Church. And we started to ramp up the efforts in our community to get our community to complete the census. Well, lo and behold, guess what happened? We got a Hope 6 grant, and we built a multi-level senior housing complex in Cherry Hill using HUD funds because we completed our census. We got other funds coming into the community for economic development. We launched a stringent police community initiative with our dear friend, Reverend Mercer. So that census is not only critical to redistricting, but there are billions of dollars that will be allocated to your community or not, depending on who completes the census. And you can complete it in 10 minutes. They ask very basic questions. How many people live in your house? Do you own your house? Your name, your address. You can do it in 10 minutes. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on your iPad. You can do it on your computer. But you are giving up power, monetarily and representation, when you don't complete that census.
You still there, David?
I think David is. I don't see him. So I'll continue till David comes back. So
okay.
The administration has truncated the time frame to complete the census. There's a lawsuit going on right now to get it extended back until October. But right now, the deadline for completing the census is September 30th.
All right, so September 30th, right?
Yes.
Okay. That, so everybody, like I was saying before, everybody, make sure you go out there, get those census in. This is not a game. It's not something to be, you know, people not trying to trick you or anything. This is something serious, people, because a lot of the younger people, you know, a little skeptical about certain things, and I get it, and I understand. You know, a lot of people, they don't trust the government. So, but this gentleman here, Bishop, is on the line here. He's telling us, guys, fill out that census. Get it in there. Don't put yourself in a trick bag. Just tell him again, Bishop, about the importance of this census one more time for us.
So, I mean, and here's where it's coming home. Head Start program. The government allocated, based on the census, $8.5 million. Okay, I'm sorry, $8.5
billion.
$8.5 billion was
That's
allocated to Head Start programs. So if you don't fill out that census, your community is putting your child at risk.
Exactly. You're missing out on the opportunities for your children, your neighborhood, and things of that sort to better the quality of your life. And that's important. Let's talk about that for a second. You know, the census, so we see that it's not just a numbers game, but it's a numbers game to get the support that certain communities need. And everybody, again, fill it out so you can have that support. You want to know why certain counties got certain things is because they, you know, they're doing these things. They're filling out the paperwork. They're getting it in. You know, and we just can't be a typical type of people like, you know, I'm not going to do it. Who cares about the government? Let me tell you something. You're being affected by it, believe it or not. Get it.
And,
in.
I'm ready, and understand this. The government doesn't make money. That's your tax dollars. That's your
right.
tax dollars coming back to your community. And if you don't fill out that census, then your tax dollars are going to some other community.
Exactly. Exactly. I hope everybody's listening live on Facebook here, Instagram. Right now, call in the number. The lines are open for you. The topic of the discussion today is talking about protesting. Call 301-715-8592. We're on the phone with Bishop, and we're on here with Satawi Jahi. We're looking for David Murphy. We're talking about it, guys. We're getting it in, and this is what we need to know. We need to empower our community with knowledge like this so we won't have to walk in blind. The Bible lets us know that. When you bind two people, you, what, you fall into the ditch, right? My people perish, what? Because of the lack of knowledge. Go ahead, Bishop, continue on.
So the census is the beginning point for redistricting because the census gives us the total population in a state. And then the state government will sit down in the next couple of years, and they're already starting this process of figuring out who's going to redraw or who's going to draw the congressional lines,
right?
Okay, and that's a critical function because the way the lines should be drawn, okay, and most of the times they're not, but the way that they should be drawn is they should be sort of proportionate, perfect, like a square or
correct.
Or a triangle or, you know, a rectangle. But the way the lines are drawn now, they can skip over one county and hook up to the next county and split one county and skip over the next county. I mean,
why such the change? Why a lot of change there?
Well, it's two things. It's,
okay.
It's who controls the state legislature.
Right.
Is it Republican? Is it Democrat? And,
okay.
And not only the legislature, but the administration. The administration puts forth a plan. The legislature, you know, resolves it, says, okay, let's move forward. One of the best things that is happening now under redistricting, and some states are doing it, is this taking it away from the political body solely. And so they're creating a three-part process where there is some representation from the legislative body, some representation from the business, and some representation from the community, and they create a commission. to redraw the congressional lines. The more light we put on this situation, the more eyes we have on this situation, the
right.
better lines we're going to get drawn. Because if it's not the party in power in the state who draw the lines to favor them, and unfortunately, most of the time, our states have been controlled by Republicans, so they draw the lines to favor Republican districts. That's how you got that lady who's a QAnon in Georgia. She's in an 80% Republican district. She can say anything she wants.
Right.
She's in a safe seat.
Yeah, she has the door.
Oh, I thought that was her.
But on the converse,
hold on for a second. Guys, mute yourselves, please. We're in the middle of a conversation.
But on the converse, sometimes we do that in black communities. So we draw a district that's 70, 80% black to ensure black representation, but then that gives the Republican or independent a free course on the other side. So when you draw these lines, you should have a black representation of around 52 to 60% to ensure that you can have proportionate representation in a competitive race in a district. So when we draw these majority black, majority white districts that are Republican, we do a disservice to ourselves. And then the other issue that I have to bring up is incumbent protection. Incumbent protection is simply the folks at the legislature look out for number one first, themselves.
Themselves.
So if they don't want to lose their seat because of, you know, population shift. So they get behind the closed doors and they start working deals.
Behind those doors. Yeah.
That's why we need that commission to take over this function. That
right.
is citizens, business, and the legislature. See what happens? We get a little bit more transparency.
Correct.
And some states have done this. I think Arizona was one, and there's another one out west. But here in the Deep South, we are going to need God to move on the water to get that done.
Well,
they try to take the governor. You see how they try to take the governor's power from even having people stay home because of COVID. Down here, they tried to limit his power as governor. And he was voted in by the people. And so it's the legislature. So the legislature has its role. The administration has its role. But now the legislature wants to take over the administration's role.
Wow.
Let me just say this. First, I want to apologize for, the technical difficulty that I had got cut off because I knew, we are being watched, put it that way. You know, we're always – so we understand.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we understand that because when two or three of us are gathered and we talk about something positive, life-altering information, things happen. But nevertheless, I don't know. You know, I got cut off about 5 or 10 minutes. But let me ask this. I'm going to play, I just want to ask this serious, because this is a serious issue that's taking place amongst us. It's one thing. So all of them things that you just mentioned, and there's a host of us out here now, that's saying, why vote at all? Why get involved? Because it's already rigged. So we don't have no solution. We might as well just stand back and just look at it, let them do their thing and just sit back and do nothing. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, I understand the frustration and the apathy. I mean, it is absolutely frustrating dealing with this system in America that we call democracy, okay? It has never been fair. It has never been just. And then when you open up Citizens United and you make corporations people and labor unions, and now you bring all these big bucks in to influence elections, the folks who got the money run America. I'm sorry, people in America, they run America. Money, not people. Money runs
money.
America.
Wow. Nobody asked the questions. Here on Facebook, I got people listening in, quite a few people. LaShawn from Baltimore. Hello, LaShawn. Welcome. She says, when protesting, do y'all really think things get solved? Do you really think that things get done when you look at it?
I'll say this about protesting. Protesting has raised the consciousness, and that's great. We've gotten some new resources, some new people aware of the atrocities and wanting to do the right thing. But now we got to go to the next level. The next level is we got to affect policy and rules and laws. The only way you affect policy, rules, and laws is you got to vote people in who represent your interests.
That is the key. I hope you guys are listening. We always talk about change. We don't like this and we don't like that. However, these people that we put into power through the power of voting, it all starts at the poll, people. You decide the outcome by your vote. That's why it's very important for you to educate yourself. Know your politicians. Know your leaders. Know these people, because these people have the power to affect change.
And even though I'm going to go a step further on that, too. You mentioned one key factor. What runs this country? You say cap is money.
Yes.
And so, you know, so even not only do we have to put somebody in or get, you know, with our agenda, but we have to finance them.
Right.
You know, because like I say, you know, money talks. You know, the other part of that. But the thing is, you know, if we don't support the financially and with an agenda, and see, power only concedes the power. See, when we can get behind people with our cash flow, Then they beholden to us, you know, and they willing to stick up with us. And not only, I think that only should we support them, but we should stand with them. And when you talk about protesting, money, because right here in Baltimore, years ago, Brother Satavi can attest to this. We had a brother named, I can't think of his name. I'm getting old right now. But in any case, he did.
You talking about Robert Clay?
Exactly. And he was financially well off, put it that way.
Yes.
But what he did, he took his cash flow and brought politicians in. But not only that, he gathered the people behind him. So every time there was a bill in an atlas that was being passed, not only did they have the candidate there, but they had people there. People filled the place up, you know, and it got their attention. And it worked. So, you know, we just got to stop just, you know, like I said, we have to vote, put our money behind, but we have to get involved. And speaking of Robert Clay, he said one more thing, because I've never been really heavily into politics. I'm pretty active in a lot of other areas. Get in when you fit in, as they say. But one thing Robert Clay said to me and made so much sense to me, he said, politics even regulates the air we breathe.
That's the truth.
And that's a powerful statement, I would say, you know.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll bring that even home here in Louisiana. We have an area here in Louisiana that we call Cancer Alley. And the chemical plants, Cancer Alley, and the big on alongside the Mississippi River, and the big chemical plants who generate big profits and who generate big contribution checks are allowed to pollute the air. And we have 3 and 4 generations of families with cancer.
Unbelievable.
And we can't change it.
That's a man.
So that's your point, David.
Yep.
We have to begin a grassroots effort. And here's the other thing, Andre. We always focus on the big race, the White House.
Right.
You need to know
right.
who's running for school board. You need to know who's running for sheriff and county commissioner. You need to look at all politics are local.
And you're talking some good stuff tonight, man. You're definitely talking some good stuff, because right now, every time I talk to my buddies, my friends, they're all focusing on what's going up at the top of the food chain, you know, the presidency, what's going to happen in November. You need to be worried about what's going on in your local assembly, your counties, your county executives, those type of people. You're right. We're too busy focusing on other things. The president's focusing on federal stuff, you know, the United States as a whole. But your county, man, they could be doing things that could affect you. You got to pay attention.
And your state legislature, your governor,
yeah.
they affect your everyday living more than your president.
Yes, that is true. That is really true. This is some good information. I'm glad he's here.
Okay, let me do this. I'm going to open up the lines.
Sure.
To anybody, well, especially I see the Eugenius People's Party's online. If you can unmute yourself, I'm quite sure you have something to share. Of what you're doing here locally, the Eugenius People Party. If you can unmute yourself And if you want to chime in, you're more so than welcome. But anybody, unmute yourself. If you want to ask the bishop a question or you just want to have a conversation about this or about that, this is the time to do so. And
David, give out the numbers that you're using right now so people can on your side of, you know, give out the numbers, and I'm going to give out the numbers on my side. That way everybody can get in on it.
Okay, well, I can't get to it right now because you know, I'm going to have to switch back and forth. And when you get mad, sometimes you can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
I feel you. Definitely on my end. Those of you guys are listening on Facebook right now, Instagram, YouTube, you guys can call in on the show. If you have any questions you want to ask the bishop, myself, Satawi Jahi, David Murphy, you can just go on to the page here and you just type in your question. Other than that, for those of you who wish to call 301-715-8592. Back to you, David.
Okay. And so, Bishop, I missed, like I say, a portion of your conversation, but of course I'm going to, see the recording on it. But based on our conversation last week, you hit on some powerful subjects. And one of them subjects is, education. And a lot of us, a confused mind, as a lot of people say, does nothing. And so we have a lot of confused people. They mean well, but they're just confused, even when it comes to voting. Well, I like the way he looks. I don't like the way he looks, so I'm not going to vote for that person, and think, no, I'm sorry. But people do that. But but right now, I think education is a powerful, powerful piece because if we don't know, we just don't know. Somebody got to help us to what's really going on. And that would affect change because if you knew the power of who you were or who you are, you can make change. Just like you and a lot of people on this podcast right now are making change. They're doing something. Everybody had their own place to get in at, but they're doing something. And so when it comes down to this educational piece, especially about politics, economics and things, where do you stand on that? How do you think that, how should we deal with that as a people?
Well, let's deal with education in America first. Your primary, secondary K through 12 education. Think about this, okay? Henry Ford started off with the automobile, right?
Mm-hmm.
T-Ford.
Sure did.
Or look what we got now, right? We got cars that drive with a command. We got all kinds of gadgets. So the car has evolved, right?
Correct.
Think about the telephone. Can you tell me where there is a payphone?
I can.
I owe you a crab cake. But we evolved in the technology of communication with the telephone. Now, think about the education system. We are still delivering a 19th century pre-World War II industrial education system, except for now we're in COVID. But prior to COVID, somebody stands in front of the room. We sit in little nice rows in our seats, and we call that education. And we've been doing that for how long now? And then you look at the progressive school systems that are really hitting home run on providing our students with 21st century education. They got whiteboards, they got smartphones. Kids are all up all over the room. I mean, you think it's chaos, but it's learning. It's a learning environment that has been created. And we need to challenge our education system. And this is where parents need to go to their school board meeting and ask them, what are you doing?
Hold up accountable.
Because it needs to shift. The delivery of education needs to shift.
It surely does.
It really does.
I mean, some places are moving in that direction, but there's some that are still way behind and not moving fast. You look at the STEM. Everybody's talking about STEM. STEM is great. And we know the value of STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. We know the value of it, okay? So what are we doing at the elementary school level to put our kids on a pathway to get into STEM? No, we're still in the traditional, stand in front of the classroom, you sit in this row, you sit in that row, and I'll, lecture and put some stuff up on the blackboard, and you copy, and you reiterate what I said, and please, Please, that's not education.
Nope. That's repeating. Just repeating what
right,
somebody
that's
said.
Memorization. Yep. Right. So anyway, but parents have to take an active role in their child's education. You cannot rely on just the educator or the administrator. Most are overwhelmed and underpaid and stressed out. Parents have to take an active role. And I know parents are the same. They're underpaid, stressed out, and overworked too. But you have a child. You have an obligation to set your child up for success. Parents have an obligation to set their child up for success.
Let me ask you this, speaking about education then. Like you say, the public school systems all across this country is really not preparing our children for the future. But some of them are because they got a pipeline
right to
prison for some of our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like I said, I recall when I went to school, it was boring to me until they came into the what they call vocational.
Right.
When I could put my hands on something, then I was there, got my attention.
Right.
But at the same time, but like you say, this technology that's taking place, children don't know how to count. I mean, there's a lot of things that just not happening. And then here in Baltimore, in the Maryland area, you know, we had raised up a lot of our own independent schools.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, they shutting them down. They're not funding them. They're not giving them the allocations to bring the students in, and so they shut them down. Especially, and they had proven track records of providing great education for our children. They was really hipping our children to the way of life.
It was under the program of Great Schools, Great Kids, or Great Kids, Great Schools.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Under that particular program, yeah. And I don't think that's anymore. It's no more. It's a lot of these schools have merged together. I remember I went to Lake Clifton Eastern High School, and I mean, the school was huge. It had like four sections, and now there's quite a few schools in Lake Clifton. I don't know what they are, but there's more than one school.
But let me say this, Andre, they may have taken that resource out of Baltimore, but I guarantee you in the white suburbs, those private schools are getting big money from Nancy DeVoe.
Yeah.
They rolled in out government dollars to these charter schools and private schools, and some of them even got some of the PPE money. Now, how do you do that? That's supposed to go to small business.
And they're running right now. And you are absolutely right. I have a buddy who works for a Baltimore City Schools Department of Transportation. He's high up in there. I think he's safety department, a couple other things. And we worked together years ago, and you know, we ran back into each other about a few weeks ago. And he's telling me, he's like, man, I'm still working. I'm driving a bus. I'm picking up these children, and I'm taking them to these private schools somewhere out, I don't know where. And I'm like, they still having school? He said, in the private sector. It was amazing the way he was breaking it down. You're absolutely right.
so they are still getting the money. Where the urban centers who are doing successful with alternative schools, their funds are getting cut. And we know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
But David, we need to rethink, reimagine education. And I love BoTech because I grew up in the DC area, been down in South Louisiana about 13 years now, and I came down to run a Katrina project. I had family here and I knew I was going to stay. But I grew up in D.C. When I grew up in D.C., we had four BoTech high schools. Four. We had three that were unisex and one that was co-ed. And the jobs that are available now in STEM, they're BoTech.
Mm.
You can go to a community college, do a year, maybe 16 weeks, get a certificate, and walk right into a $40,000-$50,000 a year job. No student loan debt. No
just like that.
Student loan debt. And have
a
career for life.
Wow.
Our school counselors, and I go into the high schools and I speak to young people who are in a Jobs for America graduate program, which is a diversion program to help them stay in school. And when I talk to those young people, I ask them, you know, where they're going to go. Oh, we're going to go to college. Okay, so how are you going to pay for that? Well, we're gonna get a grant. Grant ain't gonna pay for college unless you're an athlete. Grant ain't gonna pay for college. So we're gonna do student loan. Wrong answer, yeah. Because you do student loan at the cost for college, you'll be paying that off until you're about 35, 40.
Exactly.
So, you know, what's the alternative? And everybody's not college material, nor do you have to go to college to be successful. You can go into plumbing, electrician, HVAC, VOTEC, nursing, mechanical drawing. I mean, there are many, many careers you can go into that you do not need a four-year degree in college. And if you happen to go to college and get a Bachelor of Arts, you just wasted your 4 years because you're going to come out making less than what you paid for going to college. So now you got to go get a master's, and now you got to have more debt.
Yeah.
So you can move up the pay line with a BA.
Right.
And most BAs. I'm not going to say all, but most. And our counselors at the schools are not letting our young people know, hey, some school systems have that pathway where you can do the VOTEC or you can do the college, but our counselors are not properly helping our young people and the parents flesh that out.
Mm.
And I go to the high schools and I talk to the kids and I ask them, how you going to pay for that?
Yeah.
How you going to pay for that?
And they shrug their heads like, mm-hmm.
Standard grant, student loan. Okay.
Nothing.
I don't think that's going to work very well. Not in today's economic environment.
I'm still paying.
So we need to push that alternative and help them understand they can go to community college. Go to community college. Get your associates. Go to work. Get your employer to pay the other 2 years and get your bachelor's. What's the strategy to pay for it?
Got to have a strategy.
So,
because I'm still paying for mine.
Believe me, I was fortunate. I went to school on an academic athletic scholarship, but I also went to school when it was cheap. I'm going to date myself. When I went to college for 4 years, it only cost $13,000. And I went to an out-of-state private institution, and it only cost $13,000 for 4 years. They're paying $13,000 for one semester.
Unbelievable.
Why is it costing so much? It's so critical. Why are we pricing it out of the range of everybody who needs it?
And when I went to school, it was $250 a semester.
Lord, have mercy.
That was at the University of New Orleans.
I hear you. And you know it's going strong. Matter of fact, one of our top football stars, Marcus Colston, just became adjunct professor. Do you remember him? For the Saints, Marcus Colston?
Yeah.
He's now a professor at UNO.
Okay.
But yeah, so why does education cost so much? Why does healthcare cost so much? Why are we making money off of helping people be healthy? I mean, I understand you got to cover costs. I'm a businessman. I have a private business. I understand, you know, profit and loss, and you got to have some residual. But why are we making exorbitant profit over healthcare? And I'm not saying socialized medicine. I'm just saying, why does it have to cost so much? And here's the new issue, Andre. Now that we're in this COVID and all these people lost their jobs and a lot of them had health care tied to their jobs, now not only did they lose their jobs, they lost their health care through no fault of their own. And now they have to decide whether to pay a bill or try to find health care, and it's unaffordable. So we need to make health care, and this is something I'm helping a dear friend of mine who's running for Congress in Louisiana, 5th Congressional District, Sandra Candy Christoph. Y'all should look her up. She's grassroots candidate, Sandra Candy Christoph, Louisiana Congressional District 5. She's the top Democratic candidate. Here's something we're pushing. We should have health care like 401k. 401k, your retirement is portable. Wherever you go, you take it with you. Take it to the next job. Well, health care should be the same way. It shouldn't be tied to one employer.
Right.
Or any employer. You don't. You stop here, it continues when you go there. If you don't have a job, then you can continue to pay for it because it's affordable. And now it's absolutely critical because you got so many people out here with no health care.
No health care.
Because it was tied to their job. So we got issues that we need to talk to people who are going to my hometown of D.C. on Capitol Hill who say they represent you and ask them these questions.
That's right.
And wait till you get an answer.
And hold the control.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm back.
All right, Doug.
Okay,
so we just had a good conversation about education and health care.
All right. Carry on. But in any case, sir, again, you know, we have about 14 minutes left to the podcast, but you are multifaceted, and I want people to know that you just not, you know, involved just in politics. You involved quite a few other things. We'd like to share some of the things that you're doing, sir.
Well, let me, first of all, I got to give a shout out to Cherry Hill because I learned all this in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill 2000 taught me this. They took me in. That was my first pastorate in South Baltimore. And through Cherry Hill 2000 and the great leadership over there with our friends who had already launched that, Kathy Brown McLean and trying to think, Leo, he was with the Catholic Church, and many, many others. I'm forgetting names, but they know who they are. They pulled me in and helped me understand that my ministry needed to be more than preaching on Sunday and collecting the offering basket.
Amen.
I had to go out to the community and see if I could help. Because if you look at the ministry of my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, you will not find him in the synagogue a lot. Where you will find him is on the street corner. With the hoes, excuse my French, but that's what we want to be.
Keep it real, sir.
With the winos, with the drug dealers, okay?
Amen.
With the folks who got kicked to the curb. That's where you find Jesus. And we cannot find the church dead. We cannot find many of the church dead today. And we, the church, are negligent.
The
church are negligent in doing our Christian duty.
Now, more than ever. Have it ever been a time before? It has been now, like more than ever. There has been oppression and has been a lot of confusion here since COVID-19, deaths that had caused rallies, angry mobs across the nation. If anything is now, this is a great opportunity for us Christians, people who are spiritual leaders, to motivate our members to go out there and really do some counseling.
What would happen, and I know Baltimore, there's three churches on every corner. What would happen if we got two of those churches to go out on the street with them young people and the pastors out there leading them?
What will happen? The change will start to happen. Because they're leading by example. They see these people. It's not just a Sunday thing. They're out there, the real ministry. My pastor always taught me that the real ministry doesn't start in these doors. It starts when you walk out those doors. When you took everything you learned on coming to church and you apply it out there in them streets, helping these people, going to that old lady's house who can't do much, but you're helping her wash, do some, you know, whatever needs to be done in there, going down to these nursing homes, visiting people, talking to the young people, letting them know, you know what, we love you. In spite of what you've been through, I'm here for you, brother. Here's $5. Go get yourself something to eat. You know, just showing love, going out there. You know, just seeing that, you know, people can relate to you when you're out there showing them something. Love is an action word. Love is not just something you say. Love is you putting in the work and proving it to me. Going out there, I appreciate somebody who, especially if a pastor's out there, he out there talking to people, ministering to people. I'm like, man, he's really out there doing stuff. That's what I'm looking at. And that's what people are looking at.
And we have the answer to this COVID. It's in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name.
Wow.
So humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, pray, seek my face. Then I will forgive this, and then I will heal. Then I will heal the land. Then I will heal the land. Turn from your wicked ways. Humble yourself. Ask for forgiveness for your sins. Then God will move. We're too busy trying to worry about who's going to take over the White House. Hell with the White House. We're losing the whole damn United States.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow. I mean, what can we say, people? That's the truth. That's the truth. It's so simple. We're looking and we're seeing chaos right now, right? We're looking at COVID-19. Then we're looking at the presidency. You know, there's a song that says, in the world of many, maybe you can help me out, in the world of many choices or voices, and then they all come out to greet you, all these voices coming out to greet you, but then you have to turn your eyes to the Lord, because you could find in him a resting place and a friend. And the key things that Bishop said, He said that if you just stop doing what you're doing for a minute, you're thinking too much.
Let me set the record. I know, Dave, you want to know what I'm doing, but it's not about me. It's what God's doing through me.
Okay?
It's what God's doing through me. He has gifted me. He has perfected me. He has sharpened me. And the only thing I take credit for is I said, here am I. Send me. Here am I.
Wow.
And that's how I got down here. I left Cherry Hill. Church was doing well and okay. Came down here to visit my family. Was on a government assignment. Was going to preach at my home church, and I heard God in the hotel say, "Stay." And I called my wife and I said, "Hey, Beth, you say something?" She said, "No, I'm trying to get ready." I said, "Okay." So I went and sat down, and I heard him again, "Stay." I don't know nobody down here. I'm just coming into town to work and preach at our family church, which is in shambles, and they're all scattered all over. But God said, stay.
Wow. I'm going to say something to you. Bishop, let me say this to you. You just said that word. You know, I had the audacity to go to God and say those words. Here I am, Lord, send me.
And David, you did say that. I remember you saying that.
Yeah, but you know, there's a thing. You know, sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for. But regardless, though, the journey, I'll tell everybody, ain't no shame in my game. The reason why I'm here right now, the reason why I do the National Black Unity News is by divine inspiration. There ain't no David Murphy, ain't nothing to do. I'm just a servant. I mean, I'm just a tool. But the work, like I say, I tell people we operate on three different levels, three different laws. There's God's laws. There's natural laws, and then there's man's laws. But God oversees all of it. And Bishop is so right, because, you know, we're looking at this law, we're looking at those laws and everything else, but we need to keep our eyes where it needs to be, and that's on God, because God has gifted each and every one of us with a measure of gifts and talents. And your gifts and talents are going to make a way for you. And so those of us who are wondering what's going on, how are we going to make it through tomorrow, how are we going to make it through this pandemic, you know, you're looking at all the wrong places. You know, you look within and look up to God, you know, and it's all provided for you. And so, Bishop, again, I am so pleased. Unfortunately, for some strange reason, I keep getting cut off the first time this happened.
Right, that's because the enemy mad. That's because the devil mad.
I know what's going on, because everything else in the house is working. All the time.
But Dave, I got to give a shout out to Sister Wadi. I saw her online. I don't know if she's still there. One of my members from New Beginning.
Yeah, because I was going to surprise you with her. I called her.
She's a dear friend of ours and a faithful member. She still calls me, and my church family still calls me 13 years later.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah, and she's a beautiful sister. I mean, a beautiful sister. I mean, man.
And I miss Baltimore. I love my time in Cherry Hill. And I tell you what, I had the best time of ministry in Cherry Hill. The best time.
All right. But where are you originally from? D.C., you said?
Originally from D.C., Northeast D.C.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but I came over there in 96, 97.
They call it Chocolate City, right?
You said Henri?
Yeah, the Chocolate City. That's D.C., right?
Hey, man, baby.
Yeah. Where's that mumbo sauce at? You're...
oh, we got mumbo now. We got
what
mumbo.
I need.
But, yeah. So, yes, I came over to Baltimore, you know, by divine inspiration and started pastoring in West Baltimore until we moved to Cherry Hill and stayed there until God sent me down here. So I'm grateful and thankful, and I tell you, if you want to learn about me, I'll give you my website. It's all on the website. It's my name. It's E, like Edward, Renee,
Put it in the chat, please.
Okay, I will. And you can go there, and you want to learn more about me. I'm there.
Yeah.
When did I got an electronic footprint.
When did
I'll
you
put
move
it in the
to
chat.
Louisiana?
February 2007.
Okay.
When was you there, Brother Satavi?
Man, shoot, we left. Right after Katrina, man. I was there, though. I spent 13 years. That's where I went to undergraduate school at University of New Orleans. I moved there in 76. And then me and Cynthia, we went down there in 2005. Yeah. And Katrina came August of that year, 2005. One day after, you know, the situation with our daughter up here. And we was, you know, we was down there. You know, things were coming along fine because, you know, I reconnected with people I went to school with. And like I said, you know, there's, I always tell people there's no place like New Orleans.
No, it ain't. Show nothing. And I became a believer in September 2006 when I came down here to do a mentoring conference. And I happened to hit New Orleans the first home game that the Saints had back at the Dome after Katrina. I was here.
Okay.
And that's when God began to move in our lives. And my wife, you know, faithful, thank God for her. She didn't understand, but I just said, we got to do what God said do.
That's right.
That's our life. Our life is here with Him. It's not our life. It's His life to use us.
Yeah, Bishop, while you're on the line right now, I see that several, you know, we have quite a few members from the National Black Unity News on the line. We have several of our young men on here.
Wonderful.
And I love them so much, man, because they, you know, I don't know if tomorrow's promised to me or not, but, you know, I do know that in one day, you know, we won't be here. And so we like to pass the baton, so to speak. And reach back to our young people so that they can carry on the work, you know, that we all are doing. And then they have their own work to do. And so, and a lot of them, like some of them in their 20s, 30s, and what suggestion would you give to them when they, you know, at that tender age of life and you got a lot of decisions to make? What suggestion would you give to our young folks out there?
Here's what I suggest you do, and you start it tonight. Find out what your passion is, okay? Whatever you're passionate about, it will lead to your purpose, and your purpose will lead to your destiny. And your destiny is to be above and not beneath, to be the head and not the tail, to be an owner, to be an owner and not an employee. Create a business, young man. Create a business. And I'll help you. Hit me up on my check. Because you don't have real power until you sign the front of the check.
Nice.
Powerful, powerful, nice. Powerful.
That is powerful.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So start a business.
What? Now, I don't know who all these Bible scholars out there, but I do remember this. The first day he put man, then he put man to work. And that garden they talk about, and that garden I believe is you, because he said toil, he said multiplied. He said, you know, and that God, that them gifts, like Pastor said, that's your passion.
The
why
talents.
Do you have why
People
do you have
talent.
That passion? Something inside of you, and then like you said, if you nurture it,
yes,
and like you said, and your gift will make a way for you. And like you said,
it's
right.
You know, it's work, David. I mean, it's work. But
mm-hmm.
it's worth it.
Of
it
course,
is.
Of course.
It is. Nothing
when
doesn't happen overnight.
Front of that check, it's
yeah.
worth it.
Yeah. That's right.
Because now you got equity.
Well,
you don't have benefits. You have equity. You own the company. You
right.
get the profit.
Exactly.
Miss Whitey, I see you on the line. You want to unmute yourself? You want to unmute yourself?
Smack.
Let me see if I can get her unmuted here.
So, Your Honor, yeah, David, that's what we need. And think about this. Our school system doesn't even teach this.
Mm-mm. No, they don't. And you know what, Bishop? I said this was a great opportunity right here because of COVID-19. Parents are home with their kids. I said, man, if these people didn't take advantage of teaching them some good values, there's certain things you're just not going to get in school, Bishop. We all know that. You know, and you know, that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother discussion.
Yes,
right by itself. You know, but, you know, I told my children's mother, I said, you know, this is a great opportunity for our children to get some real rooted education that they're just not getting. She knew what I was talking about. And, you know, it was beautiful. You know, I thank God for my kids. And, you know, we all need a little bit of work here and there. But I know that if these parents did not take advantage of what's going on, and I'm so sorry to tell you, you're losing out. You're losing.
Absolutely. So that's what I would say, David. And I put my contact in the chat, and I meant it.
Okay, fantastic. Well, you know, we're coming to the ending of the hour. And I want to thank Bishop Renee Soule for taking time with us. You know, it's been a powerful hour, even though I had some difficulty, but the conversation goes on. And I'm quite sure everybody on here, you know, learned something and got some great information. And so in closing, Pastor, I mean, Bishop, whatever, you know, I just call you different names, but what would you like to say in parting, you know, anything, and give out your contact information as well?
My contact information is 985, and I'll put it in the chat, 985-248-9595. But you go to my website, everything is there. Everything is there. And as I think about this time, this season, this moment we are in life and in America, it is difficult. It is hard. It is excruciating, painful. Okay, because we weren't built for this. Okay, nobody, black, white, rich, poor, we weren't built for this. Okay, but here's the thing. If we do the common thing to help each other, we can come out. Simple thing. Put a mask on. Simple thing. Whether you like it or not, it helps reduce the impact of COVID, and we got to get down below 5% so we can get the economy pumping and rolling again. We all need dollars to flow in our house.
That's right.
So do the simple thing.
Due diligence.
You know, we're not asking you to run a mile or a 100-yard sprint. We're just saying put the mask on to protect others and to protect yourself.
Exactly.
Okay. In closing, Brother Andre, you want any departing words, sir?
Sure. Hello, everybody. This is Andre Hector, radio personality and motivational speaker from the Andre Hector Show. You know, this has been a really good topic of discussion, and I hope everybody's been listening in, everybody. You need to roll back this clip. You need to watch it again. Very informative, good information, and it's for the people, our people. You know, and I say this all the time. Our people perish because of what? The lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
And that's how we fall, because people can take advantage of us. You need to read up on what's going on out here. Know your stuff. Oh, but I don't know what's going on. Well, just take time. Take a little bit at a time. Things will start coming to you. And I say this all the time. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen a friend. Let us be the sharpening tools for one another. Because at the end of the day, I need you and you need me. We're part of this body. And that is a body of Christ, a body to, you know, help. You know, you're just because you might be the head, you're no good with your arms. You need your arms. You need your legs. We're all part of something that we're good at. Let's put our resources together, go out there and be the sharpening tools. Because I tell you one thing, what doesn't sharpen iron? And that's wood. So if we're constantly having a relationship with wood, one's going to become damaged and the other one's going to become dull. Let's be sharpened by what we need to be sharpened by, guys. You know what's going on? Radio personality, motivational speaker, Andre Hector. You can check my website at www.onrihector.com. Check up upcoming events, guys. God bless you all.
All right, sir. Brother Satavi, any parting words, sir?
Yes, sir. First, I want to thank our guests for being on tonight, and I just want to remind people, as he talked about the whole gerrymandering and the redistricting thing, how they draw the lines and all of that, that is very, very real. I had a way back in the day, I had a class in that in college, how they draw these R-shaped districts and other stuff, and you know, it's just important that people listen to this over and over again in terms of this particular podcast, and to make sure that you're doing what you need to do. As he said, make sure you got your mask on when you go out, to not only protect yourself but to protect others. And this is a great time, as Henri said, to make sure that if you know your child's not in school, make sure that you're teaching them something during this downtime. Make sure that you're sharing some important life lessons with them so that they can be able to prosper and move forward in the future. And again, I just want to thank Mr. Soule for being our guest tonight. You picked a good one tonight, David. So,
all right.
It's my pleasure. Yeah.
I got one more thing to say, guys. One of the things that I like about Satawi Jahi, he does this, the African-American, Daily Motivations for African-American mm-hmm. Success. Something that we need to, like, take a few minutes and just try to get in there and talk about it, because there'd be some good stuff he'd be talking about. Mm-hmm. And I just want to get with Satawi, but sometimes I'd be so busy. And, you know, I've been doing a lot lately. I'm in classes now. I take jiu-jitsu. I've been in other things as well. So things are kind of getting a little hard to get into. But there's one thing I've taken notice of, and that is the Daily Motivations for African American Success, and that's something that I probably should be a topic by itself one day.
Okay, will do, sir. Miss Andrea Waddy, can you speak?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Loud and clear, Sister Waddy.
Hi, Bishop.
Hey, my friend.
That's my bishop. I thank the Lord that I was able to hear my bishop. He's still
Amen.
My bishop, even Amen. Though he's in Louisiana. But I thank God that I was able to get on tonight. And David, all I can tell you is this is an awesome man of God. I can
Amen.
Vouch for that. He's an awesome man of
and
God.
And you know your word good with me.
Yep, yep.
That's right.
David and I grew up together, Bishop. Mm-hmm.
When he told me that, I was like, of course I know Sister Wiley.
Yeah.
So it's a blessing to have you fellowship with us tonight. And you know we miss our Baltimore family, but God has us doing the work.
Yes, he does.
Our hand is on the plow. Our hand is on the plow down here.
I know it is, Bishop. I know it is. But I thank God I was able to be on. I learned a lot, too. On tonight, I learned some things. And I look forward to, I'll be joining some more, David.
Okay, I'll keep you posted, okay?
Okay, see you, Bishop.
All right, Sister Waddy, love you much.
Love you.
All right, so in closing, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, I want to thank each and every person that was on live with us, those who are on social networks, and those who was on the Zoom call. Mm-hmm. And I personally thank Bishop for being our guest tonight. But I also want to give out a shout to my sister-in-law, who also is the editor in the National Black Unity. Today is her birthday, so I want to wish her a happy birthday openly. Much mm-hmm. love and respect, sis. Much love and respect. And in closing, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to tnbun.com, where you can get a subscription to the publication, the National Black Unity News, the number one circulated black newspaper in the nation, and by us and it's for us. We are not kept by anybody, but it's one person. We're kept by God, and that's how we sustain ourselves. You know, we're not dependent on anybody else. And God has brought us through. Like I said, I have no shame in my game, but thank God that this publication is by divine inspiration. I tell everybody from day one. But as we move forward in this day and time, for such a time as this, to stand up, to stand out. Our people are hurting, not just black people. People all over this world is in bad shape. But we are powerful, resourceful people. We have everything we need, ladies and gentlemen, everything we need. But one thing we really have to work on, we need each other. We need to work with one another. Because, like I said, we talked about a lot of subjects tonight, education, voting, all of them things are powerful. Media is powerful if you use it in the correct way.
That's right.
But each one of Bishop said it, we all have passions, and we take those passions. We can turn those passions into a way that will make a way for us, and we can sign those checks. We can provide preachers for our future generations. And we have to do this, ladies and gentlemen. We have to get out there. So we just can't just talk about it. We have to start being about it. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you all a pleasant good evening. Keep looking up because the fight is just beginning, and we're in it. And so thank you, sir. Thank you all. Good night.
Thank you all. Pleasure to be with you all.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Goodbye.
That ends our portion of the podcast, and now I'm going to close out with our theme song called It's My Time, and we focus on the lyrics in this song. You hear some very, very powerful things about making sure that you proclaim your destiny. So let me close it out with It's My Time. That's calling me. Okay. Good night. Thank you for tuning in to this broadcast. And may the Lord bless you and be able to heap upon you tremendous blessings. We wish for you blessings without number, all good things without end. As our beginning was good, so shall our development throughout eternity be good. If we dare struggle, speak truth, and walk in the way of righteousness. Hotep, peace.